For y'all, Canada, you know how Trump said that we were going to build a wall for Mexico and Mexico was going to pay for it? Well, now Canada's riding the same boat. Canada's going to build a wall, and we're going to pay for it. The wall is to keep Hollywood out. Because they all said, you know, if they said if Trump won, they were moving. Okay, well, they say you ain't coming here. That was awesome. Isn't God good? Get your Bibles out. You don't, as a matter of fact, I'm going to put it up here, but you still get your Bibles out to Isaiah chapter 6. This was actually what the Lord, I actually thought the Lord was dealing with me about to do for last Sunday when the Lord did the other. And so I still worked on all the way through the wee hours of the morning because it's actually going to be more of a testimony than anything else. A testimony not of me, but of God. You got your Bible? Say amen. You know, a guy comes into the shoe store. He had his dog had chewed the tongue out of one of his new, very expensive running shoes. And he said, I hope to save my investment, so I took the sneakers to a repair shop and placed them on the counter and told the man, my dog got a hold of this. So the repairman picked up the shoe, looked it over, and placed it back down on the counter. What do you recommend? The guy asked. He said, he looked at me and said, give your dog the other shoe. See, he didn't know what to do. And I know that kind of sounds kind of silly, but it's going to go perfect with today. Praise the Lord. God is so awesome. All the time. So where did this thing go? Oh, I forgot to hit one little button. Technology is good when you do it right. I was getting too excited a while ago. Well, not too excited. You can't get too excited for God. That's right. So I was watching the election. And as everything was going good, everybody was loving it because they thought that Clinton was going to win. And then here goes, they were talking about Trump had to draw an inside straight and it had to be this, 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 and this. And all of a sudden they changed it from Trump had to draw the inside straight to Hillary had to draw the inside straight. And it kept on going, 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 going. And I kept watching it. And I even stayed up as long as I could. I kept falling asleep, but the Lord kept waking me up at the right time. And I woke up when I said, so why don't they just go ahead? If Hillary had been this far ahead, they'd have gone ahead and declared her queen in chief. Queen in chief. And matter of fact, I watched one of the celebrities today. Miley Cyrus was crying on the news and said, but she deserves to be president. And she's just a crying saying she deserves to be president. And I said, why does she deserve to be president? It's not about her. It's not about personalities. It's what does the nation need? Not what Hillary needs. It's what the nation needs. But as I was watching it, and I watched it turn around, and I said, okay, it's going to get rough around here. I can see it now. Because the same guys that were protesting a lot of other stuff now are protesting this. And the sad part is they call it democracy and free speech. This is not free speech. Free speech is when you have the right to assemble and to protest with signs. When I start throwing rocks through cars and start beating people and start tearing up places and looting, that is no longer free speech. That is nothing but breaking the law. And then when I'm going to protest and protest election results until I get what I want, that's, listen carefully, that's borderline treason. That's treason, yeah. Because now you're saying, I don't like what happened. I don't think democracy is no good, any good right now. We want it our way. You're going to give it our way, or we're going to be like this. And so I'm here to tell you right now, we need to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. So be real careful how you talk, when you talk, and make sure when you do talk, you talk in a way that makes sense to people. Since the election, I've had a chance to talk to right many people, especially when I come up on them. You know, I like to be quiet most of the time. But when I come up on these people talking about it, I go ahead and I get talking with them. And when they come, I find out they're so misinformed, they don't even know the issues. And when I begin to tell the issues to them, and I find out there's been a big old whitewash. Everybody, the politicians have put a big old whitewash out there, just trying their best to get everybody to believe what they want them to believe, not what the truth is. And so it's been important that people just stay informed. And I thank God that it worked out the way it did. Now, is it perfect? No. Can he do everything he said he was going to do? I don't know. I can tell you this. We stand a better chance of it happening now than we have in quite a while. So now, what I've seen is up in Washington, they're starting to pull together. just the way we should pull together. Amen. Y'all stand. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Isaiah 6. Stand for the reading of the Word. Isaiah chapter 6. See, the problem with all this is we've got our focus off of what's real. We've got our focus off of what's going on. We've got our focus off of this. Many times because of this election, so many, after Trump won, I was exhausted for 3 days. I said, was I exhausted for, and it hit me. Was I exhausted for 3 days because I stayed up so late to watch the election till 3 o'clock in the morning? No, because I kept taking naps. So it wasn't that. What it was I was mentally exhausted. Mentally exhausted. The nation is mentally exhausted. And that's why there's other people crying like they're crying because Hillary didn't win. And that's why people are fighting like they're fighting. It's because everybody's mentally exhausted. And so somebody needs to stand up and be a leader and say, look, y'all, this is how our democracy works. Let's pull together and let's try to get this thing together. Even some major college or major universities like Harvard and Yale was not even giving exams the next day because it said the people were in such bad shape they couldn't even vote. I mean, couldn't even do their stuff. And even going to have therapists come in and talk to them because Hillary didn't win. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. They wouldn't be saying this if she won. We got to go take care of all the guys that wanted to pull for Trump. They wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't even see us marching on the street. And so I'm here to tell you right now, it's important that we don't beat them up. You hear me? Don't beat them up. Be a light. Be a light. If you can't be a light, be quiet. Because all you do is incite more riot. Just be a light. Let them know. And here's what I'm doing today. Let you know how it really is. Getting our focus back. And I was even kind of debating on how to even do this because it was just because of all the stuff that's going on right now. It's kind of got me. So let's read this together. I'll read it, but y'all can follow along with me. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with from the tongs from off the altar, and laid on my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you still have your hand on this country, no matter who would have won, whether Donald had won or whether Hillary had won, or Donald hadn't won and Hillary had won. You still have your hands on this country. And Lord, we know, God, that you still have your way, no matter what it looks like. You're still in control. You've never, never had a time you didn't. And Father, I thank you for this word right here, Lord, because it gives us that assurance. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And church said, y'all can be seated. I promise you I'm going to try. Not to keep you long. Matter of fact, I'm going to just kind of rush through this, kind of, sort of, maybe. I like what George Foreman said. George Foreman said, everybody has a plan until somebody punches you in the face. Well, there's been a lot of stuff in our life that seems to have punched us in the face lately. Amen? Have you felt like you've been punched in the face lately? Amen? With all the things that's happening. So let's just watch this now. And now, during this time, that we're talking about, that we're reading Isaiah chapter 6, it was a very, very unstable times. Matter of fact, it was so unstable, it was unstable politically. King Uzziah had died. King Uzziah had been king for over a half a century. King Uzziah had brought great prosperity. King Uzziah had even come up with some very powerful new weapons. So he was really a strategic man, a scientific king. He just wasn't some guy in there to pull his time. He actually did something. It was awesome. And so King Uzziah, he was an awesome, awesome man. Brought prosperity to God's people. And as such, people began to look to him not only as their king, but as their savior. Listen carefully. They began not just look at him as the king, they looked at him as savior. When you watch what happened in this election, Donald Trump is president, but Jesus Christ is savior. That's right. Go, come on. That's right. Go ahead. We can't get caught up into thinking, well, he's going to deliver us. No, if anything happens, it'll be he'll be used through the hand of God. God's going to do it. Amen? So look, politically, it was a very unstable time because now this guy's off the throne. Next guy coming in is not even old enough to do the job. They don't even figure out how he's gonna work this thing out. So politically, it's bad. Physically, it's bad because now they got a vacant spot. I mean, you hear him talking about his vacant spot on the Supreme Court, how much trouble that was causing. Well, can you imagine not just the Supreme Court, having the king not there? So physically, the people were actually starting to consume each other because of this great deficit. Not only was it a bad time physically, it was a bad time spiritually. Because people had got their eyes off of God. They looked at the king as Savior instead of God as Savior. So when the king died, they felt empty and that they were left to dry. And so politically, physically, and spiritually, it was unstable times. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the time we're living in? Matter of fact, let's look at this thing. See, the problem was they lost their focus. Yes, kings come and go. But God stays. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but God's kingdom never leaves. God's kingdom is always there, and God is always, so I'll say always, he is always on the throne. So just for a few minutes today, let me just tell you something. And again, I would be preaching this sermon today if Hillary had a won, because I didn't know how it was going to work out. I had no idea. But the Lord told me to preach this, and so either way, this still holds true. Amen? Amen. So now, you know, I really got upset when Obama was elected because people started calling him the Messiah. Y'all remember that? He was the Messiah. No, he isn't. God is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And so again, watch this. Here we go. Now, here's the name of this we're going to talk about this morning is, and that is the way that it really is. Okay? The way there is, you know, New York Times, one of the editors in New York Times, they had to print a retraction or an apology because he said that maybe it wouldn't have been so bad out there now if the media had have been more fair in their reporting of the election all the way through. Right now, you know, they were all really pushing for the liberal and tearing up the conservative. And conservative just did something minor, got a speeding ticket. They blew it up like he had killed somebody. And when the liberals did something like kill somebody, they made it like he got a speeding ticket. And so they kept turning the tables and turning the tables and turning the tables and making it look like Hillary had it and that everything the Republicans were doing was bad. And so when the nation said enough's enough and we won, all this uprising came. And a lot of it has to do with the media, how they reported it. Now, they're apologizing, but guess what? There's a lot of things going to be done in the next few months that cannot be undone. And so we need to be, remember, if you can't be a light, keep your mouth shut. But if you can be a light, you be a light. Every day since the election, I've had a chance to talk to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. Every time I talk to them, I talk to them in a way that I'm not gloating and I'm not apologizing. I'm just telling it here. This is how we know it. And just watch this. You get these facts. Now what are you thinking? Every single time when I told them the facts, they went, wow, I never knew that. Never even knew that. So watch this. Get back our focus. Amen. So how many know it's those times, there comes a time you just need to get back your focus on things. Amen. So now, King Uzziah's dead. The throne is empty. The throne is empty. And so now everybody's in an uproar because the throne is empty. I can tell you, it seems like our throne in the United States up there in Congress, up around the White House, not just the throne, but the throne room has been kind of empty now for a bunch of years. Amen. Not just because there was Democrats or Republicans, just they're not doing anything. It's been empty. And God says, I need you, and I do believe, I heard a prophecy last year. And the prophecy I heard from somebody, I can't remember his name, but he's pretty good about this, and he's always been on target. He said that Donald Trump was going to win because God was going to say, okay, I'm going to give you one more chance to get it right. And I held on to that. Never told anybody else. I heard it, and I just held on to it. Okay, I'm going to give the nation one more chance to get it right. And so I held that in my heart and held that in my heart. And I said, Lord, on that night of the election, I said, Lord, was that guy? That guy's never been wrong yet. Is this a false prophecy or what? And then sure enough, when he won, I heard it again. I'm giving the nation one more chance to get it right. Don't blow it. Amen. And so here we go. Focus. First, the focus is, I want you to get your eye off that vacant seat. I want you to get your eye off of the pain that you're feeling right now. I want you to get your eye off of the death of this man, and I want you to get your eye on the right throne. Amen? I'm telling you something today. Some of y'all right now are having a hard time in your life, and the reason you're having a hard time is because you got your eye on the wrong throne. Not just politically, physically, financially, spiritually, you got your eye on the wrong throne. Some of you may be the one sitting on the throne that you got your eye on. And God says, get your eye off of that throne and get your eye on this throne. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the ruler of all things. Y'all say all things. He is the ruler of all things. He is in total control. He always has and always will be. There's never been a time that God took his eye off of you. He sees what you're going through now. Praise God. And many times he's just sitting back and waiting for you to invite him in. Amen. See, absolute sovereign ruler of everything. And he is never going to give up his reign. Even when the Lord comes back and takes us away and the Antichrist has his rule for those 7 years, guess what? In the end, he's going packing. Amen? So number one, God's still on the throne. Get your focus back. God's on the throne. Every now and then I put David Linton on the throne. Oh, I know none of y'all ever had that problem. How many of you ever put yourself on the throne, called your own shots? Yeah, God says, you get off the throne. You don't belong there. You're a trespasser. We put somebody else on the throne, and God says, they're trespassers. Me on the throne. And if he's off the throne today, put him back and watch. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So now he's on the throne. Watch this now. I love it. He is high and lifted up. What does that mean? I'm keeping this simple today, very, very simple. He's high and lifted up. It means he's above all things. Nothing has dominion over him. Nothing. The Supreme Court does it. The Democrats, the Republicans, the American society, the societies around the world, none of them have dominion over him. Everything is under him. Watch this. I love it. All governments, y'all say this with me. All governments, all power, all people, and even point to somebody, you. He's got total dominion. Amen. I told you I'm not going to keep you long. Now don't get mad at the person that pointed at you because I told them to. All right. Then watch this. I love this. This is one of my favorite parts. That's the train. You say, what's the train? The train fills the temple. It's not a whoo-whoo. No. It's train. When Princess Diana got married to Prince Charles, how many people did it take to carry her train? I mean, that thing was long, went all the way through and all the way in. And it said his train fills the temple. Now what does that mean? What in the world does it mean his train fills the temple? See, his train represents his power. And his power is everywhere. And it reaches everywhere. Amen? Watch this. I love it. I told you, I'm just going to go through it quickly. Watch this. We cannot escape God. We cannot hide from him. We cannot run from him. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, sooner or later, every one of us is going to stand before him. Amen? And right now, these people that are so messed up in their mind and got everything so out of this way, I'm here to tell you, remember, if anybody comes here and tries to tell you when these people are breaking into businesses and looting and tearing up cars and beating people, not even knowing who they voted for, that is not freedom of speech. That is domestic terrorism. God, please put a stop to it. And God, please tell somebody in higher authority to talk to these people. Instead of flaming the fire, put it out. Amen? So now, here we go. His power is awesome. Why do I know that? Look at that. See those angels? Those angels' wings? That's awesome. When God speaks, look, or he is set apart. First, he is set apart from everyone and everything. He is perfect. He is sinless, and he's uncompromising with sin. God is holy. And it said, holy, 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 the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Holy, holy, holy. Now watch this. Here we go. Here we go. I got a hit on myself. I'm getting happy. His power is awesome. How many remember that song? He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the Democrats and Republicans in his hand. look, watch this. When God speaks, the earth shakes. Think about it. When he speaks, the earth shakes. In his hands, he holds all of creation. He holds all of our lives. We're held in his hands. Amen? He has the power to do anything he wishes. And all he's got to do is speak. And it's done. Speak. Wow. Some of us think we can speak and get it done. Yeah, you get in the right place at the right time of speaking, you're going to be undone. Amen. So now we see how this is how God really is. Okay? This is our focus. Now, let's talk about how we are. All right, preacher, you're doing really good till you got there. Watch this. As I watch what's going on in our country, this just actually brings this to a greater light to me. And here it is. Watch this. How are we really? How is the human race? Watch this. This is awesome. We're in trouble. Every last one of us. We're in trouble. Why? He says, woe is me, for I'm undone. He was the holiest man in the land. And he said, oh, after he saw God? But he was looking at the king and advising the king, and he was there, and he was a diplomat for the king, and he was all over the place talking for the king about God, blah, blah, blah. And now when the king is gone, and he gets to see the real throne room, and he sees how it really is. Some of us need to see how it really is. If we can see how it really is, then we'll change our attitude. Because now when he sees himself, he sees God. And remember, here's how it works. When you see God, first you look through a window, and you see God. After you look through that window and you see God, then it becomes a mirror, and you see yourself. So he's looked through the window, and he saw God. Now he's looking through the mirror, and he's seeing himself. He says, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm not completed. I've got troubles of my own. I got things in me that don't need to be there. I mean, there, you know that. You got things that don't need to be there. Amen? Amen. So watch. How can we stand? Here's what he was saying. How can we stand before God? That's what it means, undone. He's high, and he's almighty, and here we are low and dirty and weak. I debated whether to put dirty there or not. Then I thought, no, that kind of says it. Yeah, I've come in before, and my wife will go, especially when I come back from prison ministry. Come back on Thursday nights from prison ministry. And I go and I try to give her a kiss, and she goes, don't touch me until you go in that bathroom and wash your hands with chlorine. Yeah, we already washed when we were in prison, but it don't matter. She says, I don't care if you washed in prison. You're going to wash it in this house. And you're going to wipe that face because I know you've been around. Listen, she's not calling the people dirt at all, but you've been around a lot. You see, it's not just those guys around all that dirt over there. Every time I step out the door, I'm always stepping in dirt. So watch. We're in trouble. How can we stand on? We're in trouble. I told you it might keep you long. We're also hopeless. He says, because I'm a man of unclean lips. When we stand before God, our sin is magnified. We see ourselves as God sees us. At first he looked through the window. He said, woe is me, for I'm undone. And then he looked in the mirror and he goes, wait a minute, I can't do anything about this. Look, watch this. And so next, real quickly. Now remember, this would have been there whether Democrats or Republicans won. This is how it would have been, or what I would have preached. He says, I'm in trouble, I'm hopeless, I got no one to help me, because I dwell in the people in the same situation I am. When I go to prison, how can you go to prison and talk to those people after you know some of the things they've done? It's because, guess what? We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. There's some guys will cry, some guys weep, some guys sit there and want to talk. You know, I walked in I walked into the Jubies. I always like going to the Jubies. That's where I like to go first in the federal side over, and then they go to D block into segregation, go to juvenile delinquents. Or they call it juveniles. And when I'm in there this week, I said, how many need a Bible? And they're passing out Bibles, and they hollered. They all hollered, the whole bottom floor hollered, go to the first cell. He needs two Bibles. And I said, why does he need two Bibles? He said, because he tried to kill us. He tried to hang himself in the cell. Of course, I told them two Bibles ain't going to help. And they began to laugh. And I said, I'm not here to make them laugh over that suicide. So Stephen went and ministered to all of them. And I went to that guy. And he was sitting on his bed. And he wouldn't come to me. He just looked at me. And so I pointed at him. You're 17. I pointed at him. He looked at me kind of wild-eyed. And I said, come here. And he struggled. Then he got up. He started walking to me. And I said, I need you to tell me something. He said, what? I said, what's going inside? What's going on inside? And I found out that he had a $50,000 bond and he got moved to a $500,000. And he said there was no way out, no hope. And so he thought the only way out was to kill himself. And I said, you know that's not the truth. He says, I know that now. And then he began to talk with a lot of intelligence and began to talk with spiritual stuff. And I said, wait a minute. Whoa. Wait a minute. He said, what? And I want y'all to hear this because this is for some of y'all right here, right now. I said, wait a minute. You're sounding too much like somebody that knows what's going on. Talk to me. Where are you from? He said, I said, who's your mama and daddy? I didn't ask who they were. I said, where do they live? What's going on? He said, I wasn't raised by my mom and daddy. I was raised by my grandma. And he said, she's a pastor. So he was feeling bad because she's a pastor and he had done this stuff. And it was so expensive, they didn't see any way out. And the Lord began to deal with me, to deal with him. We're going back and forth, and he's crying, and we're going back and forth, talking back and forth. And then I told him, I said, you know what this deal is? I said, okay, you've got, your only family is your grandma. She's a pastor. You're her only child, so to speak. I said, this is more than about you. This is about generations to come. And he said, tell me how you mean that. I said, well, see, your grandmama, God's investing what he invested in your grandmama into you. I said, I can look at you. And I began telling him some things. I said, I bet you this, 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 and this. He said, you're exactly right. I said, you're gifted and you're ready to move into the ministry. And I began to talk to him. He said, how'd you know that? I said, I'm just telling you what I'm feeling right now. And as we got talking, I said, here's what's going on. It's happening to some of y'all right now. Please listen. I said, this attack is not just a man. I said, if Satan could get you to commit suicide, number one, he would cause your grandma to be so distraught that it would change her ministry forever. She may even quit. Number two, you'd be gone. And number three, your children, your children's children, and your children's children's children would be gone. I said, if he takes you out, he takes out the generation before you. He takes out your generation and the generations after. I said, so when you think about that, how does it make you feel? He says, I'm so mad at you. I said, are you going to try this again? He says, no, sir, I promise I will not try this again. I understand. Some of y'all here right now got to realize the attack on you right now is not just on you, but it's on the generation before you. Listen, if you do what you're, listen, if you listen to Satan, it's going to ruin the generation before you, your generation, and generation, 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 what's coming down the line. When we walked out, I looked in his cell, and he smiled and waved. I said, thank God. That was awesome. So watch. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every last one of us, if we're going to man, we've got no one to turn to. We can talk to him, of course. But we're going to stand alone before God, even Trump and Clinton. Amen? They're both going to stand before God. Listen, although they're very popular or unpopular, they're popular in their unpopularity, it doesn't matter. So watch. I'm closing. The same one who reveals our condition heals our condition. When you stand before God and you begin to feel what's going on, not only does He tell you about it, He doesn't leave you there. You know why? He loves you too much to leave you the same way He found you. Amen? So here's what happened, and we're closing. Y'all get ready. We're getting ready to have some music. Watch this. Get ready. Then one of the seraphim flew with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The angel couldn't even touch. Listen, the angel couldn't even touch this hot coal. Why could the angel not touch the hot coal? Because the hot coal represented Calvary. And only Jesus could take away our sin. And so he couldn't even touch it. It was holy. And so he touched him. And after he touched him, he said, now your guilt is removed. See, the coals touch your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. He touches us in order to touch others, for us to touch others. God's actions affected Isaiah's attitude. Then I heard him asking, who should I send? As a messenger, he said, who's going to go forth? He says, here I am, send me. I'm going to read this one more way, and then we're going to come up and pray. I want you to watch this. Come on. Here we go. The Bible says, in the year King Uzziah died, then I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and his train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal. He had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed, and your sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to these people? Who will go for us? He said, here I am. Send me. Let me ask you a question. As I was leaving the church, before I ask you a question, as I was leaving the church Tuesday night, we were watching the polls, and of course the polls were kind of flipping. And I was listening on the way home to Mark Levine, and he said, I can't believe what's happening. In a negative sense. And he said, but there's some positives going on. And I happened to ride by a sign. I said, God, I really need your help tonight, because this country's in a bad fix. And I saw this sign that said, I'm doing away with the old things, and I'm making all things new. And when I saw that, the Lord put a peace in my heart and said, things are going to be different when you wake up tomorrow for the good. Get our eyes off of who's in the White House. And get our eyes on the one on the throne. Get our eyes off all this mess. If those guys that are rioting and hurting people would get their eyes on the throne, this would stop. Anybody that's gloating, if they would get their eyes on the throne, that would stop. God is on his throne. He is in control. Romans 13 says that he sets up authorities. He sets them up. He's the one that puts them up there. Even though he works it through the people, it's still God's will to put these people up. So looking at that, I honestly believe, hey, what about the Bushes and Obama, Clinton, Obama, all those guys? The Bible says authority is of God. Honor them. But get your eyes on the throne. Everybody stand. There's been a lot of people that have been so frustrated for so long because of the hardness of this election, because of the one-sidedness, because of all the things that's going on. There's a lot of people have gone through a lot of pain. And God says, it's time for healing. It's time for healing. It's time for healing. If we're going to see healing, let it start with us. Amen. Everybody else, is that turned on? I want everybody that will to come up here. Everybody, come on up here. Everybody. This is not a time to gloat. This is not a time to be tore up. Either way, however you wanted it to go, this is not a time for that. This is a time for God to be on the throne. God, help us to put you on the throne and leave you there. Help us, God, to put you on the throne and leave you there. God, help us, Lord, put you on the throne and leave you there. Leave you there, God. Leave you there. This is an important time in our lives. This is an important time in our nation. This is important. This is not about bigotry. This is not about being prejudiced. This is not about being homophobic. This is not about any of that. This is about putting God back on the throne. Putting God back on His throne. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Help us to put you on the throne. To leave you there in our own eyes, because you're going to be there no matter what. Thank you, Father. True and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Living sanctuary for you. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, true and holy. Okay. Thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Remember, at this moment, ask God to help you be a light, because that's what this world needs, is a light. We don't need to be a smoldering ember, and we don't need to be trying to burn somebody up. Be a light. Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus, turning back. No turning back. To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
to follow Jesus, turning back, no turning back.
Remember, right now, however you want an election to go, it's over. It's done. We can't change it. Neither candidate, honestly, acted presidential to me. But it's not about who was the most presidential. When you had that kind of a two opponents, then you had to go by the platform. And I believe that the proper platform is in place. Okay? But you got to be careful how you talk to people, because this never has there been an election divide families like this has. It's divided families. It's divided co-workers. It's caused some bad things to happen. So listen, don't rub salt in the wound. Ask God to help you. Be a light. Be a light. Be a light. Be a light. Amen. Amen. And you want to say something too, sister.
This Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to start our second meeting of studying the book, Lord Change Me by Evelyn Christensen. Anybody that wants to come is welcome to come. We just got through the first little part of it, and the real part starts now. So anybody, you can catch up at any time. We're doing it every 2 weeks, one night a week. So try to come if you can.
David wouldn't let me talk at the prison. He said, we're in bad enough shape as it is. You just keep your mouth shut and follow me. They didn't even want me to go into prison. They had taken me off the list, but they said as long as I went with David and didn't get out of his sight, I could go. And I'm going to mention something while I'm up here, and this is just a reminder. 137 days. That's for you men. 137 days will be the Men's Emmaus March. 172 days. It's going to be the Women's Emmaus Walk. We're going to be reminding you folks, you know, if you feel led to do it, I guarantee you it's a life-changing experience and you'll never forget it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to be in your house today. We know, Heavenly Father, that this nation is a divided nation, but we know, Heavenly Father, what it'll take to put it back together is you. We'll just have to come back to you. Just be with us. We'll humbly accept what has happened. Be with our leaders, Heavenly Father, that they may look to you for guidance and understanding, not to themselves. Not look to the Democrats, Republicans, independents, whatever. You are on the throne, and you always have been. And as I told people this week, the same God is in control right now who was in control when George Washington was elected and will be in control when the next president is elected. Thank you for the message we've heard today. Be with those who are not here, those who are sick, Heavenly Father, we know you're in the healing business. You always have been, always will be. You're the same yesterday, today, and you will be tomorrow. Dismiss us as we leave this place, Heavenly Father, and give us safe journeys. Thank you for your Son, Heavenly Father. He died that we might live. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Miss Dorothy here. Wait a minute.
Down here, we have changed our phone number, and if I haven't given it to you, please let me give it to you today.